everybody. Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. I'm Alex Falcone here in Portland with Megan.
Hello.
Joining us in Brooklyn, as always, Tanya and Chris.
Hey, hey, hey.
What it do?
And in the Bay Area. That was a good intro. In the Bay Area, it's Ezra and Sarah and a baby.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. Well, glad to have you here. We're talking about Season 12, Episode 4 of Top Chef. And normally right here we would just jump right into talking about the quickfire, but Mike on Facebook asked us, he said that he's a listener to our show, he likes our show because he likes Read It and Weep, and so he came over and started listening to the show as well because he likes us, but doesn't care about Top Chef, has never seen it, doesn't know a thing about Top Chef, and so Mike, he just asked if we would be kind enough to give him a quick primer on Top Chef.
Ooh.
So
what
that
sort of
he can listen along.
Okay.
Okay.
Like this specific episode or just
no,
Top
just,
Chef?
No, just what is Top Chef?
He's never seen it.
Chef.
Do you mind if I give it a shot?
I would love it, Chris. Just give us a quick breakdown of how every episode of Top Chef goes.
Okay, so Top Chef is a reality show where you have professional chefs in a competition to see who is the best chef. And they start out with like 16 or so, and every week somebody gets eliminated. And they do these challenges where they cook food, like in a restaurant setting or at a barbecue setting or using only tools that you'd find in a elementary school or, you know, whatever it is, right?
You have to make a dish with just crayons.
They have really famous chefs judge the food. So the group of chefs, they cook their thing, then they get judged. And there's also a mini competition beforehand to see who's going to get an advantage in the main challenge.
So
like,
for
mini competition, winner gets advantage, and then main competition, loser goes home.
So really what we're talking about in terms of vernacular, the mini competition is always called a quick fire.
Correct.
So when we talk about a quick fire, that's the first small competition.
And the
that
big
usually,
one is called?
And then the big one is called the elimination challenge.
Yeah, which is exactly what it sounds like. And it's basically, if you've seen RuPaul's Drag Race, it's that but cooking. If you've seen Project Runway, it's that but cooking.
Yeah.
If you've seen Chopped, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, only with,
with more continuity.
A bigger group and more continuity.
Yeah.
And better chefs, I think.
And much better chefs.
Yeah,
yes.
But the idea is this whole group is the same group, but it just keeps getting smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a show about, you know, watching professional chefs cook well and also seeing who's going to go home and who's going to stay.
Yeah,
and most of... Oh, go ahead.
Whenever someone like, makes a salad
Bay Area.
Or misses their family, you know, then they go home.
Or if it's their birthday.
Yeah.
Or if they cook a salad.
Right. Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons. Yeah, so the only thing I would add is that before we do the quick fire, there's usually an intro about who misses their kid this week. And then we get into the quick fire.
Yeah.
And then in terms of cast of characters that you're going to hear about over and over again, Tom Colicchio is kind of like the big kahuna judge.
He's head judge.
He's head
super
judge.
Famous chef.
And
he's
a restaurateur.
A
and then Padma is the sort of the odd one out because she is not a chef or really any restaurateur of any kind, but she's very beautiful.
And she likes eating food.
Yeah, and she likes eating food.
She had like a cookbook.
She has a cookbook that came out a couple years ago.
Oh, well,
she became a
lot. But that was kind of after Top Chef started. Like she wasn't cooking before Top Chef necessarily. Like she was just like a beautiful host.
Gourmand.
Yeah, she used to be married to Salman Rushdie. You know, she had some cred.
Yeah.
And she's charming as all hell.
Oh, she's amazing.
Just in the divorce settlement. Like
this was part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Gail Simmons is a beautiful alien who's also a well-known cook and food writer.
Who I really didn't like for the longest time, but I'm coming around on her.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
And and also regular judge this year, Richard Blaze, who is the winner of Season 10 All-Stars and the runner-up of Season 6 Something Went Wrong.
So
the other thing that I will say about this show is that like, so what Chris was just mentioning about other shows that it's similar to, it's a classic reality show format. They're not reinventing a lot. I mean, I think immunity as a concept is from the first season of Survivor.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's just
a necklace.
It's just made up of pieces of other reality shows. So small competition for immunity.
Cooking. I think cooking existed before them too.
Well, but it's one of the best reality shows because it's polished and the level of the cooks are good and the judging is like good critique and all that. It's less drama and more doing, I think.
Yeah, although we've had a little drama this season. There's always a little drama, but yeah, it's so good. And I've watched a lot of Gordon Ramsay's shows. I watch a lot of Hell's Kitchen and it's better chefs than Hell's Kitchen. Those are usually like up and coming cooks, and this is like possibly own their own restaurant or two already. Some James Beard nominees in this group usually. Like, it's usually a really hot group.
I will say, though, less adorable than MasterChef Junior.
No
yeah,
doubt.
Which a lot of people contend that that is like the best show right now. So
yeah, people really like it.
I haven't watched it yet, but interesting to note.
Yeah, and Chopped is hanging around. I didn't like when Chopped first popped up. I thought it was not going to make it, but it's gotten some recognition. People really like Chopped.
Yeah, it's like a nice bite sized snack. You get a lot more Chopped than you do, Top Chefs.
Yeah. Fair enough. Shall we dig in?
Yeah, let's jump into this episode. So there you go, Mike. You're all caught up now. You can keep listening. Also, one of the reasons we don't spend as much time talking about that sort of thing is because I assume there are none of you. So thank you for listening anyway, even though you had no idea what we were talking about this far in. I'm really
very
flattered,
surprised.
Genuinely.
That's really sweet.
But let's talk about this week's episode 12.04 of season Boston. So for the quick fire today, they had to make elevated bar food for George Wendt and Padma, who are amusing physical opposites. In the actual bars, bar Cheers. Guys, first of all, how much nostalgia do you had for Cheers? Have you guys watched a lot of Cheers?
No.
This amount.
Some Cheers. Some Cheers.
None.
I watched all sorts of stuff I wasn't supposed to watch when I was a kid. So yes, definitely. There was a lot of Cheers. I definitely knew the theme song and would lie on the floor and sing along when it came on.
Yeah.
Wait, so you were like, there were late night reruns happening at some point in my life, but I don't know that I ever watched them on purpose.
I've never seen a single one. So it seems like it's all in Brooklyn. Wait, just go back a second, Tanya. So would you be in a chair and you would get out of the chair to lay down on the floor just to sing the song?
Or were you already on the floor? I just remember spending a lot of time just on the floor as a kid. Like there were always places to sit. I just was always like lying on the floor.
I had chairs at home.
I don't know. That's just what I remember the theme song coming on. Like there was like a period of time where I thought it was really interesting to watch TV like from the floor. Like the angle was really different and I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's like a movie theater.
You're an innovator, Tanya.
I suppose.
Right?
I mean, I also remember the time when I figured out that I could make myself dizzy by spinning around in circles and I did that for like 2 weeks.
That was a game changer though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have a sibling for the first 6 years of my life. I was pretty bored.
Well, so I'm glad you guys got a little of the Cheers. Was it fun to see? Is it weird to see a show's bar in
another show? It always looked like a set to me when I was a kid, so I was a little surprised that it's a real operating bar.
Was it actually filmed at a bar?
Yeah, that's a real bar.
Well, right,
that's
I thought it was a replica
point.
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and I also, somebody on the show, one of the contestants said that they thought that it was in Chicago, and I also thought that, so I was really surprised that it was in Boston.
Well, that's why Boston, they paid the big money in the tourist bureau to get Top Chef there, so they could finally set the record straight about where Cheers took place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels
Boston,
about right.
Meh.
Yeah, so James started out having a bad day, you guys. He was the worst mess up, I think, in the quickfire. He had his bean dip with carrots.
Do you guys think that was worse than Gregory just half the food falling off his plate and he just had half a burger to each person?
That was such a funny fail.
It was
so weird.
I liked it because he didn't feel that bad about it. He was like,
it's
he felt
just
like
a quickfire.
Yeah, exactly. He made something, he felt okay about it, dropped half it on the way to serving it. And so he wasn't like, I blew it today. He's like, I just got to get less slippery plates.
I didn't understand why he didn't say that he dropped it on the way, though. Like, Padma was like, so you didn't finish? And he's like, yeah, I didn't finish. And I was like, he did finish. He just dropped it.
Yeah,
that
it did
seems
seem
like an important difference.
Yeah, it seemed like he wasn't really sticking up for himself. He was just like, yeah, I screwed up. Who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm Gregory. I've been on the top all four episodes in the Elimination Challenge.
This is a low-stakes quickfire.
Yeah, it was. Well, first of all, do you guys... So I don't think they were too harsh on him for having the stuff fall apart. Do you think they were too hard on George for his bean dip not being bar food enough?
James.
Sorry, James. Yeah. Sorry. Do you think George was too hard on James for his...
Listen, I've had some hummus dip at bars, and it almost never is a good idea. I don't know.
I feel like it's like if you don't want fried food, then they like have to give you an option, you know?
Yeah.
But then like someone next to you is going to get fries and you're going to feel bad. That's the way it's
going to
go.
Also, hummus is mostly oil, so it's not like you're really doing yourself a huge favor.
Olive oil.
Shh. Yeah, it's
sure,
a good oil.
Healthy.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. Great.
Well, did you just get shushed, Megan?
No. I shushed Alex.
Oh. Okay. Sorry, I couldn't identify the source of the shushing there. It just Alex turned his head and then I heard a shushing noise.
Yeah, not me.
It was a phantom shush.
So, Tanya, you seem like you might have something to say about the hummus situation.
Oh, I just was, when he said he was making a hummus, I guess, and then he kept saying bean dip, so I guess that should have been my clue, but it was gray.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of the color was really, like, disheartening. And then the vegetables were...
Michigan-style hummus.
Well, and then the vegetables were pickled, and I felt like that also just added to the overall, like, there were just too many funky elements.
It wasn't bar food. I think that's ultimately what it was. Like, maybe as, like... a very starter course at a restaurant, that would be fine.
Yeah, like shitty tapas. Yeah.
Or if he'd or if he'd done like really crispy, like wonderful breads that were like in a little stack. Like I think part of it to me was presentation. Like you want something that feels easily compartmentalized, and this was like pickled vegetables in a sea of gray bean dip.
Yeah,
and like
gray is not a great color.
Sign me up.
Yeah. So I guess, I feel like if he had presented it differently, it could have flown as like, oh, this is unique bar food, as opposed to just like, what happened?
Yeah.
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 But ultimately, this wasn't a high stakes quick fire, so really nothing became of it.
Well, right. But we did have the big eye was back. We had immunity again for Katsuji, which.
Yeah.
We had so many predictions about Katsuji and so many opinions. We were sort of split on whether he was going to come back.
And we were kind of right with everything we said.
Yeah, everybody who predicted he was going to fall apart was right, and everyone who had predicted he was going to be on the top was right, which is kind of amazing.
And reverse draked.
He did.
Yeah. In the same episode.
He double draked. Or he negated his
draked. Yeah, he full draked, I guess. There's a full revolution.
He went full circle.
Drake.
Full metal Drake?
Full anyway. Metal Drake. Watch that.
Wow.
He did a lot
Drake
of things.
Solid?
And I would love to rant about how immunity saved him, but then he also got saved by his teammates, and it was a team challenge. So it seems like he wouldn't have gone home even if he didn't have immunity, because his team had the best-looking menu.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like this. I like his luck. I don't know. Like I feel like this bodes well for him.
He just is very volatile swings one way or the other. Right?
Well, yeah. I want to come back and talk more about Katsuji in a bit, but let's jump into the elimination now. So the challenge was to they were in Chef Michael Schlau from Top Chef Masters Season 1, which I don't know if you remember, was the season where you didn't meet any of the Top Chef Masters.
Yeah, I was like, who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Season 1 was the season where it was like, 10 chefs get eliminated today, and then the one will go to the semifinals. A lot of chefs you don't remember. But anyway, Michael Schlau, who I enjoyed. I enjoyed Michael this time. Chef
he was Schlau. Awesome.
I liked the way they used him, like, a great deal.
Yeah.
Well, yes. So let's talk about that. So they were cooking in Schlau's restaurant. And they had to cook a three-course Italian meal, including antipasti, pasti, and post-pasti.
Pasti.
Pasta.
Checks out.
Pasta.
Antipasti, pasti, your Aunt Patty. Yeah.
And secondi.
And secondi, right. Sorry, so they had to cook scallops, ravioli, and steak. They had to do that. Anyway, Chef Schlau was expediting, because they were cooking in his restaurant. Tanya, you like that a lot?
I thought that just like it cut out a lot of the like technical drama that sometimes happens when you don't have a good expediter, where like so much of the like squabbling in the kitchen becomes like, I didn't like the way the tickets were happening and I didn't understand what he was calling. And like he just like was in control and was just very like clear and concise. And it just made everything feel like you are focusing on cooking. That is your only job.
And that's a really good point, because like it was his restaurant. They all knew he was other. If they just had some contestant expediting, the kids might have felt free to, you know, act like teacher's not there and, mm-hmm. and
the
fight
teacher
each
was
other.
There.
They could bicker, but it was his system. And he started out right at the beginning. He was like, purple team, stop fighting. We've got work to do. Like he just,
but everything came out great, because he's, you know, like basically they were all in good behavior and everybody cooked well, and he was a big cheerleader for them. He was a supporter,
and he was actively tasting the food and giving feedback, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah,
I loved it too. Did anybody feel like that was maybe giving them too much help?
No,
it's
good. I want them to succeed.
I'm sure there are people out there who are angry. My friend Caitlin only likes when people fail on this show. so I'm sure she was angry. But I love it when they do well, and I loved having a great expediter. And also I thought Schlau was like really fun at it. And he was like, cook your pasta a little bit longer, but you know, a little more salt. Keep the presentation up. Don't slow down. He was really great.
Yeah, well, yeah. I like the I like when people fail when they've given have every like opportunity to succeed.
Yes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That chance. Makes it feel more like they're owning it.
Yeah. That failure is yours. Another part of this challenge I love that we haven't seen before is it's a menu writing challenge. Basically, yeah. The chefs work together to write a menu, and whoever's menu, because you order it all at once, gets ordered most by the diners. They're safe, no matter what.
I thought it was interesting that the team of sous chefs, who is that, Maylin and James?
It was Adam and Doug.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
Yeah, May.
Yeah, so really strong chefs, but all sous chefs had the most trouble with getting the menu right. And that was something I've just never considered before, is that they wouldn't have done that.
But they cooked great food. It was just food that no one wanted to read about.
Yeah, they were totally safe on the basis of their food. But, I mean, I love restaurant wars, seeing how they work in a restaurant, and I love the challenges where you see the business of being a chef.
I wish they had gone all in on this the best menu idea, where it's just like caviar stuff with lobster, you know, like sort of a bed of gold or whatever. And it's like, you don't, you know, follow through on it, but as long as people order it, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Served on top of Detective Comics number 1.
$100 bill.
Yeah. Tom.
I was going to say, though, I feel like every challenge where Tom is judging you is secretly a menu writing challenge, because Tom is incredibly literal and like judgmental about, if you told me I was getting this and I didn't get this,
Tom is not really in good time. He's like, purple team, now you did not come through on your promise that every burger came stuffed with 20s. You're going home. But you did sell a lot of them, so you're safe. But I would love to eliminate you for the lack of 20s.
I'd love to eliminate you.
They still decide to Gregory. You got a great $20 bill. Why not put a burger around?
I expected a pile of dirty beef, and that is not what I got.
No, so Gregory and Team Drama, basically, Katsuji and Aaron, their menu, even though their food might not have been the best food, their menu got ordered the most, and therefore they were safe. And Gregory was MVP of that team, as usual. His beef was awesome. And he basically kept the kids from fighting in the back of the car.
He slapped them around enough to make them respect him, and they're good to go.
I have so many mixed feelings about that. How that came out, May? Were you going to say something about the something? What were you going to say?
I was going to just say, going back to the menu writing challenge, that I wish that they'd given more information about why certain menus succeeded and why some failed. I mean, they gave a little bit, like some hints, like, oh, people really love like scallops.
People don't like cold shrimp.
But specifically, like the sous chef menu that failed so badly, like they were sort of like, well, people don't really like salads. But like, other than that, like I didn't really understand why some of the menus did so well and some of them didn't do so well. And I thought maybe some more information about that would have been interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes sense that scallops and steak sell. I understand that a little bit, and I don't think I would have ordered that radicchio salad. And if they were even begrudging when they liked it, they hated the description, hated the look of it, and they were eating, and they were like, I guess it tastes okay, fine, it's good.
No, it's stupid, it's ugly, but it's okay. Good.
Didn't want to like that. So I can see how that wouldn't have been as exciting to order. I guess chilled shrimp I never thought of, but it doesn't sound as appetizing as masticated peaches, I guess.
Macerated.
Macerated.
But I guess this actually made me think a lot about like the menus that I've encountered as a diner in my life, because there are some menus that are so dense that like looking at them is exhausting. Mm-hmm. Where you're just
all the words. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like
smartphones, right?
Yeah.
But it starts to feel embarrassing, where you're just like, I don't know if you're talking about a piece of meat or a type of cheese. Like, what is happening
this
here?
How many different kinds of Italian cheeses? How have I not heard about all of these cheeses?
but you know, depending on who you're eating with and what their restrictions are, like that becomes incredibly important, and you can't just like fly by night and be like, I guess this seems cool.
Yeah.
It turns out that rice dish is made of only gluten.
There are secret glutens everywhere.
Well, that reminds me, let's talk about that too. We got to get into that. The bonus challenge on this was that Padma's famous friend, who was, she was very proud to show off. Have you guys met my famous friend? She was really excited about it. But her famous friend
is more famous than her.
Yeah, well, on her show, sure. But if Padma went to visit Shameless for some reason, I'm sure
Shameless
tables would
show.
Be turned.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with it, so I didn't feel like she was as famous as Padma, but what do I know?
She seemed nice. She seemed kind of like American Emily Mortimer.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Like in terms of like look, but yeah. maybe not.
Although
age.
I don't actually know
also,
the difference between Emily Mortimer and Emily Blunt, so I'm not sure which
mean,
one it was.
I think you mean Emily Blunt.
Damn it. Why are there two Emilys that are British?
Emily Mortimer is a little...
Why are there two people in England who are named Emily?
Who are famous actresses who are brunettes. Famous, there's a little more.
Well, and Chris reminded me that Emmy Rossum was, like, her big break was Phantom of the Opera. Remember when that was a movie?
No.
Yeah.
Did not catch it in theaters.
So in this case, a famous friend was a bonus challenge because she was gluten-free at a pasta course and did not tell the chefs that until they got the order. And a couple of them were great at it, and a couple of them did really badly at it. How do you guys feel about diet restriction challenges on the show in general?
I think it's another like reality of being a chef.
Yeah.
Like you need to think about that when you're menu planning, you need to think about it just like on the fly sometimes.
Or just have some tricks in your pocket. Like Katie had a great trick with the zucchini pasta that she's like, "Oh yeah, this happens all the time in restaurants."
Yeah, and how is she the only chef who's encountered a gluten-free customer before? Of the people seemed so freaked out by that, and she was like, yeah, we get this. It's not a...
Katsuji just took the filling from the pasta and put it on a plate.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to put it out there. If Katie ends up winning this whole thing, it's going to be like a Slumdog Millionaire kind of situation where it's like every situation in her life has like magically prepared her perfectly for this.
Yeah.
I know how you like
I don't
to...
know.
I know how you like to root for underdogs, Ezra, but that would bum me out.
I don't know. I mean, I'm always disheartened whenever we see her react to anything. Like everything they tell her, her first move is to like look very drawn and concerned.
When
they're like, Katie, there's gold bouillon in your suitcase, and she's like, ooh,
oh. That sounds heavy.
Oh.
That sounds heavy.
No, I'm prepared for this. I've dealt with this before. We call that a North Dakota suitcase.
I'm gonna make some chili. I'll see you guys later. Yeah.
I like she was zen about it. I like chefs being zen about that sort of thing. In Katsuchi's defense, though, even though he served a terrible thing, deconstructed ravioli, which was cheese and pea puree, and it sucked. But he did say he asked someone else to do it. No one wanted to. Like Gregory told him to just serve the filling, and he said, "I'm glad I have immunity. This is not good." So he knew.
I love they only felt worse about it when it's like, oh, I sent out a dish of pasta filling to that beautiful famous woman.
That was the best line of the night. That was hilarious.
Aaron, whom I'm sure we'll talk about later, had the best line of the night. Which is like,
you just fed that beautiful famous woman a pile of pasta filling.
A glob of pasta.
Yeah, it was so nice.
Yeah, I hope you felt terrible. I guess when he heard gluten free, he just assumed that it was a homely accountant and not
a non famous. Usually they're non famous.
You know, I feel like you could so easily put two and two together when they're like, "There's gonna be a famous guest," and then somebody's gluten free. Like, wouldn't you be like, "Oh, you know what? Famous people don't like carbs in the form of wheat."
Also,
it was like Occam's chef's knife.
Also, if you noticed that the orange team only got one order all night and it was for a four top, you got to assume that's the judges,
right? Yeah. I feel like you're always assuming like any four top would be like, oh, judges.
So I normally feel a little guilty with specialty challenges, like when it's all vegan and chefs are like, we can choose not to open a vegan restaurant, but not being able to do one option for somebody is really sad. And then some people, like, so she had the zucchini pasta, and then Risotto. Yeah, Melissa made a risotto that was apparently amazing, and she was just like, "Yeah, I'll just bust out a perfect risotto on the side right here."
Is normally a kiss of death. Like nobody does a good risotto on
the
Top Chef.
Of the risotto.
Yeah, and she just did it.
It's almost like it's your birthday.
Yeah. It is, but
or what Melissa, we call the 50-cent curse.
Melissa had a great night tonight. Melissa, who I think is going to be a sleeper hit, she had a great night. She made the risotto, and she also made a really great fish dish. Didn't she? Or what did she make?
She made ravioli with peas and ramps, and then then substituted the risotto for that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But she, like, everybody
but
loved
it. She was on it. Yeah, she had way better the ravioli.
Is there any way to have a portmanteau of fish dish? Because I'm having a tough time with it.
The fish.
Fadish.
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 I don't think it's
actually
a
like Fadish a lot.
Yeah, you're right, Caleb. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, Caleb doesn't like it.
He's not a portmanteau fan yet.
Also, shout out to all of our listeners who have babies, and every time they hear the Caleb speak on the podcast, get freaked out that he just their baby just woke up.
Yeah.
Really? Is that happening to people?
It happened to my sister. She was listening to our show while her baby was sleeping. And was like, every time Caleb cries, I keep thinking my baby woke up.
That is, it's the worst feeling also. It's like, oh no. It's mount up.
Get ready.
Back to being a parent.
So what do you guys think about, we talked a little bit about Katsuji earlier and his double Drake. What do you think about him being double immunity and then cooking by far the worst dish of the night?
That's, you know, it's like, if you have insurance on your rental car, right? Like, Chris, you drive it like it's insured. So, like, that's what you do.
He was definitely driving like he was insured tonight.
He was driving like was double insured.
I feel like those are the two buckets that people fall into when they have immunity. Like, nobody just, like, gets immunity and does fine. Like, you either get immunity and then kill it and get, like, the best dish of the night, or you get immunity and everyone's like, good thing you had immunity, man, because that was crazy.
Also, with him, it's kind of, he's, like, 50-50 anyway, top or bottom. Katsuji
yeah.
does not
yeah.
like
yeah. He's already
night.
He's already veering around.
Yeah,
all the
but
road.
It's not like he's gonna like. It's not like he has a bunch of like wins to spare. He's like, well, I better I better hoard my wins and use up on some.
He drives like he's insured when he's not. So.
Yeah.
But he didn't go home this time. At least the game goes on.
Yeah. So what we haven't talked about yet is the actual elimination. So it was a double elimination this week, which normally might upset me a little bit, but there was some. I don't know. There was some fat.
Too many chefs on my TV still.
I was going to say, there's still a lot of fat to be trimmed. I feel like there are people that, like, I mean, we had this ongoing problem with Rebecca and, like, whether or not she existed. And so I feel like this really solved it once and for all.
And James, I didn't know who James was. Megan was pretty sure he'd leaked government secrets and then moved to Russia.
You are so right. Oh my God. He wore his glasses. I was like, he looks like someone. Who does he look like? And then I realized it was Edward Snowden.
I'm so tickled.
It is. I also like, if you're Edward Snowden and you're trying to hide in plain sight, reality TV might be the one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't believe Edward Snowden was on Top Chef, you guys.
And besides his tattoo, I really knew nothing about James and didn't really care for him.
Oh, he was the one with the tattoo.
He was the dirty dancer.
Yeah.
I wish they'd given us a farewell shot of that Swayze tattoo.
Yeah, with some sad music.
Yeah, maybe.
Or like if he'd like been able to like make it wave by like flexing his arm. So it's like Swayze says goodbye.
It's time for me to become a ghost.
That would have been great. If they played that like Isley Brothers song.
Yeah. Unchained Melody.
Yes.
So we lost. Yeah, we lost two people that we weren't really that concerned with, and now I feel like. Tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like this is the right number of chefs now. I can remember everybody's name when I see them, or at least the funny nickname I gave them.
Yep.
I know something they've done, good or bad, at this point. Like, I think I can keep track of this many chefs now.
Mm-hmm. I was getting a little lazy with Melissa and calling her Sidehead for a long time,
I
forgot.
Whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, and then Chris was like, oh, Melissa's doing this, and I was like, who's Melissa?
Yeah, I was like, we don't have a Melissa.
There's no Melissa on this show.
The only thing that I don't love about a double elimination is we went from 12 chefs down to 10, which means they could do another team challenge next week. And I like the individual
I feel like
challenges.
They're trying to keep it even numbers. That's part of the deal.
Yeah, we know they're doing an outdoor catering challenge.
Oh.
Right, at the end of the episode.
Must be getting close to
Restaurant Wars
then.
Two from now. Then
but
probably.
They,
it's usually eight.
They've been doing pretty tight Restaurant Wars lately, though. Like, they're like three chefs on a team sometimes.
I think it's historically, it's usually
four
eight,
four?
But there might have been a six or two.
Yeah.
I think eight's a good number. And then one leads and one's front of the house and there's two cooking.
Yeah.
I'm always excited for Restaurant Wars.
Do you guys like front of the house or not? Because I feel not good about it usually.
Being front of the house?
Well, just the existence of it.
I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's almost always a bummer for the person who gets chosen to do it, unless they're amazing at it, which is rare. But
it's like goalie, right? Like in soccer?
Yeah, it's like being goalie. Where it's very important, but you wear different clothes than the rest of everybody else.
I'm just so amused, I think. Different gloves. I'm just so consistently amused by how bad people are at it, and I enjoy them watching like the person put down the food and then walk away without explaining it, and Padma being like, what are we eating? I don't know. I
like
enjoy
she,
it.
Yeah. She's gotten more and more sassy about that, and I always enjoy that a lot.
I mean, can we just have them be front of the house where they're the valet?
One of you has to park cars.
Take your keys.
So they have to, like, stand outside and solicit customers.
Oh, yeah. Barking. No. Oh, barking would make me so sad.
Yeah, that would be
cool. Yeah, no, give them one of those big signs they can, like, twirl around, like,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. They're just buy one, get one free pizza spinning.
Exactly.
All right, so let's do some predictions now, then. So we know this is an outdoor catering challenge. I try not to watch the previews, so you guys always know a little more than me. Let's just catch up on our predictions from last week. Blondie versus Aaron, still no change.
Yeah, they're both there, although Blondie has missed her kids a lot this episode.
She
so
did.
I think she's on her way out.
But then
I
mean, she got really? A husband pep talk and did well in the quickfire. So.
I was going to say, I think she pulled up her socks on this one.
One man?
Oh, I love that her husband was like, the kids are fine.
They don't miss you at all.
He was always like, they don't miss you at all. Everything's cool.
It's like you're never here in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you guys know how it is when mom leaves, right? Like, probably he's making canned chili and watching R-rated movies with them, and they're having a blast.
Yeah.
They're all lying on the floor watching Cheers. It's fine.
Yeah, it's Bachelor Night with Dad is always kind of fun. Also, Ezra's prediction of Doug and Gregory becoming a super chef actually came a little bit closer today. Gregory rubbed Doug's shoulders.
Yeah,
I know.
It was a beautiful Portland moment. Yeah. They didn't merge into one, but it was a good. You're getting closer.
I'm okay with them not merging into one. You guys, I'm just going to put it out there.
Oh, you're taking the under on this. All right.
Yeah. I'm taking the separate and equal.
I think you know we had, as we said before, we had the Katsuji issue. We both kind of we kind of split. Everybody was right. But let's do this now. Let's do it again. Katsuji, top or bottom next week.
I'm going bottom.
I'm going middle.
Sorry, I just.
I'm going middle.
Oh, no.
Ooh, the dangerous middle.
Yeah.
No, bottom. Bottom.
Yeah, I'm going to go bottom, too.
Megan?
Katsuji is like the.
Yeah, I think he's in a downward spiral. I don't know if he's going to be able to keep this.
No, he's like a sign
tostada.
That's yeah. True. Yeah.
I'm gonna go bottom as well. I'd love to go top just to disagree with everybody, but I'm so bad at this that I'm gonna stay in the middle of the pack.
Wait, so the best he can do is middle, according to us?
Yeah, that's right.
If he tops, everybody's wrong.
Yep.
I just don't see it. I don't see topping anymore.
Well, so now
I got it right for Price is Right, though, right? Like, right? So like, I wouldn't have busted. But
yeah. Well, no. If he does great, you'll have busted or no, you're right. You'd be closest. I get it.
Okay. Cool.
Sweet. So, and also now it seems like we're down to, well, I don't know, maybe Katie. Who else is weak? Who do you think is like bottom of the pack?
Who would you challenge in a high stakes?
Exactly. If you're fire? So you're Katsuji and you just lost the quickfire, who do you challenge?
You know, Stacy has not been as strong.
Oh yeah.
Even though she's very good with local ingredients, being a Boston girl.
And she got kicked out of Cheers, the bar, one time. That was a good story.
That's pretty good.
That wasn't for cooking badly.
Yeah, it
no,
wasn't
I know.
For cooking. It was for letting Irish people try to steal a glass.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she had more of a role in that than she says.
Mm-hmm.
I also am not super impressed with Doug. I know that he's from Portland, and so them's fighting words, but Gregory is awesome, and Doug is his friend. But Doug has not done a lot that's impressed.
Chris, you're not going to be saying this when they merge into a super chef.
I disagree with you so heartily with Doug. I think that radicchio salad was very impressive. Tom did not want to like it, and he enjoyed it.
Yeah, it made people like it.
He also made that for a friend at a restaurant in Portland that closed pretty quickly, so...
So that's high praise.
High praise. That is kind of a weird thing to note, but it's true.
You're proving my point.
I'd want to challenge Melissa. Is she the one still there?
Yeah, Sidehead. Yeah.
No,
Sidehead?
I want to know who she is. I want to figure out which one's Melissa.
I think she is the least known person at this point, and I still have a feeling she's going to come out firing. I think Melissa's going to turn into something great.
She's been
strong.
Do you think you can
go under the radar this long and still win? Because I feel like that was what happened with Rebecca, is like they didn't focus on her because she wasn't going to be on there for very long.
Oh, you think it was Megan. An editing choice that we didn't know who Rebecca was?
Yeah.
I felt like she just didn't have... But she didn't have a lot of personality. Maybe, she was always saying like things that were just...
Maybe not like the only editing choice. Like she also didn't, you know, wasn't really in the top or the bottom, at least as far as I remember. But
yeah, she was a tough one to focus on.
I feel like if she went on to win, we would have like seen a little bit more of her, at least. I don't know.
Rebecca had been on the top, and she was on a winning team one time, so she's on the top from a team, whereas James had not topped at all. Well, he had a quickfire win, but he had not topped in the elimination challenges. I think that what you're saying about them sort of editing her out because she wasn't going very far could be true, but sometimes it feels like they give a little more time to the person who's going home. That's where we got that missing the kids theory, was because they were like, we have to show you who this person is before we eliminate them because we don't have a chance.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't hear from someone for like 3 episodes and then all of a sudden you hear their life story, then you get worried. But
that's a bad sign. But
yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like the fact that we haven't really heard a lot from Melissa up to this point, like, I like her and I think she shows promise, but I feel like that's just a bad sign for this particular show.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Melissa, you know, sad as I am to say it, I don't know if she's going to stick around for much longer. Just based on that.
I want to disagree about Katie too, that I think Katie's got some fight in her. The thing about slicing the ribeye, like they did, they definitely edited it. What?
That wasn't Katie. That was Stacy.
That was Stacy.
And Katie made the. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. That's I was trying to tell you.
Okay. Well, yeah. I just don't speak Spanish language well enough. I don't think Stacy has the problem that you guys are giving her. I think like the thing with the ribeye where they edited it where it was clear that she was gonna get yelled at for it, but then they still really liked it. Like it was just. It was not a decision Tom would have made, but he was okay with it because it was really good. I thought that showed some strength from her. I think she's got a lot of potential still. So Katie is the Salt Lake one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Katie were to come out guns blazing next week, I would be a little surprised.
I don't know. I think that she has. I think that her arc is she goes home soon-ish, but she makes a good showing. That's what I think. I think that she doesn't have this. She's not going to be in the finals, or you know, maybe she'll make it to Restaurant Wars. I don't know, but I think that you know, she's had some wins and she's had some real losses, and so I think that she could. She could have an arc where she does a little bit better and then just has her moment.
It's possible. I also think Carrie Ann is not going to pull out of her spiral. I think
agreed.
I think Carrie Ann's in trouble. Let's jump. So some minimal predictions from us this week.
I know the fans have been clamoring. Here's the update on May's headband game. Strong.
Yeah, it was really strong this episode.
Really strong. And you know what? May, she also cooked well. Coincidence? I don't think so. This has been May's headband report from Pack Your Mics.
I'm going to say that beans are going to have a great recovery after the gray bean fiasco. Beans are going to have a major show in this next episode.
I didn't know we were doing ingredient stories.
Well, it makes
peas also had a weird week.
Peas did have an interesting week. A lot of pea purees today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Some successful, some not so much. But everyone knew. I didn't realize, like, both Emmy and Tom were like, I don't like the look of these peas versus, like, these peas look great.
Like, I don't like the look of these peas.
But it was like you could eyeball the peas before even putting them in your mouth and know exactly what they were going to be like.
Yeah, they call it a... Okay, never mind.
I wish they brought in guest judge Big Siege, because he's loved MPs.
Oh, that's true.
He does love MPs.
It was like everyone had like, I have my wife, I have my family, I have peas.
Yeah,
I love peas.
I have ingredients and I have the earth.
We also didn't really talk about about the masqueraded peaches from Aaron, but was it Katsuji's idea to add that word? That was like, we want a bigger word.
Macerated?
Yeah, he said macerated instead of like chopped peaches or whatever.
Massacre.
Well, chopped peaches would have been the saddest.
Yeah, it would have been.
We can all agree.
Macerated peaches is also gross. I don't know.
I like the word macerated.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah, it's just, it's nice. It's fun to say.
Oh, I find it
unfair. Yeah, I wasn't angry at it. I didn't think.
It. All right.
I still don't know what it means.
Speaking of things that the fans are clamoring for, though, let's jump into the mailbag. We got a great mailbag this week.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
So first of all, thanks to, we had a couple people send us real sad news about Aaron. So let's talk. Mm. We got to talk about Douche Hat, you guys.
Oh, sad man. And sadly unsurprising news about Aaron.
So yeah, TMZ was reporting this week that Douche Hat was arrested for domestic violence.
Oh,
that's the worst.
Which is super bummer. Not terribly surprising, but really, like, I like when people. I like. I hated him as a villain, but I did not want him to actually be a terrible person.
Yeah.
No. And I felt like his art or his like story about himself was more about like, you know, dealing with his issues and kind of rising to maybe a better place. And this makes it sound like he's still got some stuff to work through.
And he was like, he worked
significant way.
He worked okay as a team today. And they were like, he's such a talented chef, but he's so messy. And that was like fun, bad guy. And then this is just.
Do you remember when this was in relation to the, like, was it just that TMZ had just found out about it now?
No, it just happened this week.
It just happened recently. So well after all the taping.
Yeah, it was on Tuesday. He had an argument with his girlfriend and shoved her and injured her knee, according to TMZ. And then he posted $50,000 bail the same day, which is pretty impressive. Makes me think he might have won.
No.
Absolutely.
I don't know how hard it is to post bail. I was just guessing. Anyway, so that sucked. Yeah. So I hate that. Let's just move on from that. But thank you for letting us know. Let's start with this. Claire on Facebook said this. We all agree that Richard as a judge leaves something to be desired, although Richbot's suggestion sounded like very appealing to me. But I would love to hear you guys sound off on which previous chef testant you would like to see on judges panel and what you think they would bring to the table.
Mm.
Who do you guys want to see as a judge from a previous?
Oh, Sarah, you had someone you liked, right?
Yeah, I love Antonia as a judge. She's a judge sometimes on Cutthroat Kitchen. I don't know if anyone watches the Brown Show.
Ooh.
And she's awesome. She's just totally genuine, and I like what she says about the food, and she's fun. And
yeah, you want somebody with a big heart to be that sort of contestant.
She seems tough but fair.
Yeah, she is tough. I mean, she gives genuine criticism, but I think she wants to like it, and so if she does, she's not shy to say.
Interesting.
That's cool.
I never loved her on the show, but that is exactly what I want in a judge.
I'd want to follow up my, I guess, theme of bromance. I think I'd want the team of, was it Joey and Howie, maybe?
Oh, sure.
What? Oh, no. Not, oh, no, really?
And they have to have matching costumes.
Tweedledee, I don't know. I'm just not excited about hearing from them. I miss Fabio.
Yeah.
I want Fabio and his pet turtle. How about that bromance?
Good.
You have to make something for the turtle, too.
Yeah.
The turtle's gluten-free.
My famous friend has a dietary restriction.
He's a turtle.
He's a turtle. Please make all the bites very small.
Good luck.
Yeah. His dietary restriction is he only eats flies. Good luck.
I think they eat strawberries, guys. If you ever
they
see
do.
Some... Yeah. They love them.
Strawberries or flies.
Turtles eat strawberries?
Oh, guys.
Oh, yeah.
On web videos.
Do yourself a favorite. Oh. Yeah, search for turtle eating strawberry on the internet. Okay. It's just a delight.
You'll be satisfied. It'll turn out fine. Who else?
I definitely... Oh, I already chimed in on Facebook and said that I wanted Hung to be a judge. Mostly because I feel like... I was trying to think about the longevity of it and like who do you want to hear from week after week after week, and I didn't like for that reason I didn't want anybody very soft or like nice. Like I want someone who's like technical and a little ruthless.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I'd be so interested in hearing what Hung has to say. Also, I'd like a Hung update because we haven't heard from Hung since.
Yeah,
he's been a little quiet.
I think he's done with Top Chef. Is what that means.
Which I admire not answering the phone every time they call. I think that's a good sign that you're like focused on cooking some food now.
Yeah.
I would love to see Stephanie. I thought she was really fun on the summer show this year.
Yeah, she was cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, she's not the most ruthless, but she has a nice perspective on food. She seems pretty grounded.
Yeah, she hates modern techniques, it seems. Yeah. She likes family-style, ugly, tasty food, which is exactly what I want to hang out with, but it is kind of weird as a judge.
Yeah, that's not great perspective as a judge. Yes. I think Kristen would be great. I love looking at her face and hearing her talk.
Just want to see her angles again.
I'm fine with that.
I think later this season, right?
Because
she's from Boston.
Yeah.
I would be very happy to see more
so.
Kristen. I also have to say, I thought Richard had a good week this week. He felt like he chilled a little.
He was fine.
Yeah. Sharp little jacket. I'm not sure I loved it, but...
I thought he was relaxed like a chilled shrimp. He was just hanging out.
Yeah. Hanging out next to some pickled vegetables.
Ugly beans. If it was Hosea, if Hosea was like the guest judge, would you guys just like stop watching? Like, what would it take?
That would be so offensive.
Haven't they brought him back out? Didn't he judge a quick fire a while back?
I think he took part in the quick fire.
Yeah, I feel like Potato Head made an appearance.
Or Stefan.
Stefan, I have nothing to say to you.
But the thing is, like, I mean, I think...
Wait, didn't Stefan just retire to his mom's house in...
Yeah.
No, because his mom isn't well.
Yeah, his mom's not well. But if his mom makes a magic recovery, you know, he'd be free.
I feel like Hosea is not ignoring Top Chef's...
Wait.
Sorry, Chris. I feel like Hosea is not ignoring Top Chef's phone calls. I think they're not calling. That's my guess.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I want to see... Oh, sorry.
Chris, go ahead.
Oh, I think we had another letter come in suggesting a Top Chef master as the guest judge, as opposed to a former contestant.
Ooh.
So it's somebody who can give a perspective of somebody who's been in the industry for a long time, has done some cooking competition, but not everything is, oh, when I was a contestant, I did better.
Mm. We do have that.
We have plenty of those, yeah. And we had one this week.
And I enjoy it. Yeah, I really enjoy it. I like it, like when... Well, Hubert Keller was the first judge ever on Top Chef. That was the first challenge, was in his restaurant.
1.1.
And then he's later done Masters and was very charming. And
I love
it when he comes back as a judge. It's really fun.
Also, not a chef contestant, but I would like to see more Emeril.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Emeril
did great.
Yeah, Emeril.
Was missing.
Yeah, what's he up to?
Who else would you like to see, Megan?
Of the Masters?
Or anybody.
Or just more Anthony Mackie.
Carla.
Yeah, he was great.
Carla?
Is that not her name?
Remind me of Carla.
Hootie?
Who? From DC. Or the DC. I think it was the DC.
Oh, DC. Yeah.
She was in the top three. And then,
big hair.
Yeah, she was a delight.
She was so fun.
She was awesome. Yeah. I loved her. Yeah, I'd be happy to see more of her.
I would like to see her as a judge.
Chef Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Chef Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Jonathan Waxman?
He's
been
great.
Back a few times, but I never get enough of him. Also, we had another letter on Facebook, facebook.com/packyourmics, by the way. We love getting having more questions. This is from, it looks like Joan, but he's from Spain and looks like a boy in his picture, so I'm guessing it's Juan.
Juan.
Anyway, sorry about that. Juan? Also, you're from Spain. Get your own Top Chef. But thank you.
It's not as good.
I know.
I don't know if it was one, but somebody from Spain sent us a write up on a diatribe on how bad Top Chef Spain is.
Alex, is it J-O-A?
J-O-A-N.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Juan? I don't know. I'm sorry. Tell us how to pronounce your name next time. But anyway, thank you for writing. He wrote us to say that he suspects that the judges last week were affected by Katie's crying about her dessert food. He doesn't believe that she recovered from a disaster to a top dish that quickly. Do you guys buy that? Do you think that the judges are affected by her tears?
I think it's fine.
No.
It's part of the table side presentation. Right? It's like additional salt water.
You can just sauce yourself with tears.
Yeah, it's part of it. If part of the show.
Serve with a warm sadness broth.
I don't think that's Tom's style.
Yeah.
And Tom,
no.
I think Tom is always genuinely just saying what he thinks.
I think if anything, Tom hates a dish more if you cry. I think Tom seems like he's offended by crying.
He's Tom Hanks in League of Their Own.
Yeah.
There's no crying. Yeah. There's no crying in Top Chef.
There's no crying in food cooked on a baseball field.
Oh, wow. It's really appropriate.
Yeah.
I have a theory about this. And my theory is just that Katie is the type of person who, when she sets out to do a thing, that's her goal. And she's not as flexible as maybe some other chefs. So even though she coped and made an awesome dessert it wasn't her original plan. It wasn't what was on the menu. Tom is a big stickler for meeting his expectations. And so if you say it's going to be this and it's something else, I think she was terrified more than anything else. The food was still good.
Well, yeah, and I would say I think that's true. And I also think that maybe if the judges were affected by anything, it's not the tears. It is that she set very low expectations, and so her dish was able to get over that. So she may have
fair enough.
She may have done that, but it wasn't like, oh, she's crying, so let's tell her food is good, because they have no problem sending you home while you're crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Juan was also... I'm so sorry. Spain was also telling us that he was throwing some shade at Katsuji. He thinks Katsuji has been a jerk in these fights, too, with Duchat, and has been provoking him. And how do you guys feel, like, Ezra, are you still Team Katsuji?
I mean, over Douche Hat? Is that like a conversation, really?
Is that even a thing we have to wonder?
Not anymore, but like, how about just as opposed to other chefs who are not jerks? Do you think he's being a jerk too? Are you amused by him?
I'm still amused. I mean, the thing with Katsuji, is I there's so much chaos kind of inside of him. It seems like just so much randomness that it's hard for me to find like meanness there. There's just a lot going on. I don't know. I'm okay. I'm giving him a pass mostly. He'd have to be pretty mean to someone.
You don't think he's just trying to get in people's heads with all of his talking?
I don't know.
He's just being himself.
I feel like there's not that much self-awareness there.
Brooklyn, how do you guys feel about Katsuji? Are you going to throw some shade too, or do you think you're still team him?
I've never really been Team Katsuji. Like, I like somebody who, like, chimes in and is funny and ridiculous, but I don't find his cooking consistently compelling enough to think that he's going places. And I also think that, like, if you're sleep-deprived and, like, super under pressure and there's somebody who just won't stop talking, it's very likely that that person is incredibly annoying.
Yeah.
So I can see where, like, the little bits that we get from him are great and they're, like, edited for time, but if that's just constantly on in the background, like, I can see how that could be kind of like a provoking influence.
Yeah, I feel like Douche Hat is the greater evil here.
Yeah.
But,
sure.
Katsuji sure isn't helping things.
Okay, yeah,
so one of
true.
Them goes, we're going
to
see.
Here's the thing. If anyone besides Aaron says that Katsuji is annoying, then I'll listen to him.
Yeah.
But until that happens.
People have said. I thought that other people have said that he's always very loud. Like, no, they may not have been like, it's driving me crazy, but like, they're definitely like, he's always on.
Also, Aaron said the awesomely passive-aggressive thing where he said, a lot of people have been saying that you're annoying. So we can decide whether or not we believe that. But it's possible that all people are saying
anonymous sources.
He did, yeah. Aaron was still citing some anonymous sources about it.
The Aaron Herald Tribune.
Didn't Aaron have like a friend that he bonded with? Was it James?
I think it was James.
It was James. They both come from blue-collar backgrounds. And now James is gone.
Whoopsie.
They both started from the bottom and now they're here. Lastly,
do we have Last Chance Kitchen? Because they mentioned it for the first time this episode.
We haven't talked about that yet.
That was weird.
There was a weird, like, why would they keep that in if there wasn't going to be one? Rebecca, during her exit interview, said, I want to come back and win it through Top Chef, or through Last Chance Kitchen. But there has been no indication as to whether or not there is a Last Chance Kitchen.
I like the idea that there actually being no Last Chance Kitchen only lowers their chances of coming back from it slightly.
Yeah, odds are pretty against it. I mean, I think that they would not have kept that in if there wasn't going to be one.
Super mean.
Yeah, I think that, so that tells me that they're going to do it, and it's got to start next week, because, you know, we're getting to the end.
What if they just have one, like, if they're just getting lazy with it, and they're like, well, we don't really want to do this every week, so we're just going to have one, like, big challenge at the end, and then whoever
everyone fights it out together. One person gets back in.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. It could
wouldn't like that. I would think that was not. I don't know.
That's sort of what they did at the end of the summer one.
Well, but yeah, at least they had a system to it, and they, I don't know, there was some more vetting before that happened.
Oh, blog post from Team Top Chef on November 4th. Last Chance Kitchen is coming, so that kind of settles that.
I guess so.
Starting after episode 8 on December 10th, the eliminated chefs will have a shot to win their way back into the finale.
That actually is kind of exciting. I feel like maybe they're going to do something really different.
Maybe they learn something from duels.
Yeah. Interesting. So, of course, this will have full-blown twists, apparently. Mm. You have to wait till December to find out what they are.
Ooh. I hate those half-blown twists.
Yeah. No more of this half-assing the twists, you
I don't
guys.
Like the twists go off half-blown.
Let's blow them all the way.
So lastly, one last letter. Jocelyn wanted to stir the pot a little bit about Nicholas. She said we were hating on Nicholas last week, throwing some shade at him, and she didn't understand why. She was like, why are we always hating on Nicholas? So I explained it to her in the comments at packyourmix.com. I just reminded her that we hate him. And
broke it down. It's pretty simple. We hate him. No,
I don't know if you remember this. We hated him, and he's the losingest winner in the history of Top Chef. And
he was.
She said that she's got a soft spot for him and doesn't really get why we hate him so much. Is he the worst?
What is her soft?
So here's her question.
Oh, sorry.
Is Nicholas the worst douche in the history of the show?
No.
Where do we rank him?
Oh, I don't... I mean, I think he's probably top 10, but I don't know if he's even top 5. Really, the reason is he won when there were so many better options. If he had beaten Hosea...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would be like, fine, great. Nick was a slightly better... I'll take it. That's like, that's bonus.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, but he did beat out a lot of people we liked better and thought were more deserving of a title of Top Chef.
Yeah. The whole immunity fiasco.
Yeah, I was going to say, the immunity fiasco and then the completely unrepentant attitude following the immunity fiasco was like the nail in the coffin, I think.
Yeah, like not admitting that he'd gotten lucky in that, like acting like he hadn't screwed up at all.
Yeah.
He was I rank him as the worst villain in the history of the show because he won. If he had not won, it would have been very forgettable. It's that...
Yes.
I've never wanted someone to not win as much and then had that happen.
Yeah, it was just hard that he really got... He got really villainous and then he got really good. And that just was a rough trajectory.
Yeah, without having any emotional victory. I mean, Aaron has just now jumped to the top of villains. So I think it's now Aaron and Nicholas. But
he'd have to stick around. Aaron would have to stick around for a long time, actually, to make this count. I feel like we've had mid-season villains before that I don't remember about. So like he'd have to go pretty deep into it for
He was arrested for domestic violence.
Yeah, that's true.
But if he doesn't stick around, yeah, like, then we're not.
Yeah, that's not necessarily. I've been thinking a lot about that, like how germane is that to what we're discussing in terms of his cooking?
If there was a way to edit him out of the rest of the episodes, I would ask them to do that. If they could just put a censored bar over his face, I think he's like.
Huh.
When that happens to you, I just don't want. I don't think you should be on TV anymore. I think you should. You're done. And it happened after taping, and so they got to go back and figure out how to get him out of the show.
I was wondering almost the same thing, Alex. Like, if there are any edits on future shows where they kind of make him look good, if they're going to go back and take those out.
Yeah, he's, like, gone now.
Yeah, it seemed like they were trying really hard to humanize him, which made me think that he must be doing well later on.
So he might go in the other direction, where they just add, like, some demonic horns to him, just, like, make sure that no one has
dehumanizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do the Google Hangouts thing that we do to each other for him, where he just has
a top hat all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't really dehumanize him. That would make him adorable.
His current hat doesn't make him adorable, so maybe...
That's true. His douche hat.
Yeah, maybe they'll just add that hat even when he's not technically wearing it.
Yeah, that's my final thought for the day, is if we could edit him out of the rest of the show, I'd be fine. Even if it was like, we give the second place person the win.
Wait a second, guys. What if the hat actually is CGI the entire time? Just so that we know that that's the signal. It's like, oh, we added in this hat so that you know he's a jerk.
Top Chef doesn't have the budget hat. For it.
But. I would also be fine if they edited out his face, but his hat continued to cook.
That's interesting.
Just Ratatouille style.
Yeah.
I am curious, if people have a soft spot for Nicholas, I'd love to know more about why. Like, what was the moment where you were like, oh, this guy, that's fine. I don't mind how big his neck is and how weird he is and how he's a total monster to everyone. Like,
you're pretty down on PNT.
I didn't like that he got buff. I don't know. It just bothered me.
What's her name, the second place woman from the island?
Beverly?
Oh, no. The one who didn't win last season, who was, like, right so until the... Much. Like, she did amazing right up until the
Nina?
End. Nina. It was Nina.
I want Nina to come back and judge. I want to see Nina again. I like her.
Nina would be great. Yeah, she's a good balance.
And she's good on Twitter.
Yeah, she's fun. Well, final thoughts? I think you look like you're going to say something. Do you have any final thought? Nope.
No.
Okay. Did Nicholas redeem himself to you?
Did Nicholas redeem himself?
I know the answer, but they don't know at home.
No, he never redeemed himself.
Yeah, he's the worst.
We just got another email, actually, guys.
Just
now?
Ago. 4 minutes
what?
Ago, literally.
No, it's too late.
Live. No, do it.
I don't know.
This just in?
No? Talk about
No, I want to know.
All right, go for it.
Okay. This is J number two.
J number two.
Mm-hmm. He says he was formerly number one. Let's see. So talking about immunity, says, you're correct. Only time you notice it is when it gets in the way of a correct decision. At least they didn't compound the problem by asking him if he thought he should give up his immunity and go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small steps.
I just... I just want to remind everybody that the person who said that was not a Top Chef employee. He was a guest judge who only cared about the soul of cooking, and I think it's a totally reasonable thing to ask.
Yeah,
I agree. Think if the producers had sat him down and said, you should give this up, then I would say that was wrong. But it was a visiting chef who was like, you screwed over your team. You're a terrible chef. I don't think you are going to earn the respect of your peers if you keep going. That is a very reasonable thing to bring up.
Yeah, yeah. Here is a sword. Yeah. Would you like to fall on it, please? he also says that the curse of the risotto must not live in Boston.
Yeah.
And he also wonders if producers make on-the-fly adjustments as the season progresses, which we were just talking about, actually.
Yeah.
If they detect immunity is screwing things up, can/would they simply delete it from future challenges? Of course, they want immunity to cause drama and conflict, so they think it's fine, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they film the entire show over, like, 2 weeks. You know,
it's something. Short?
Yeah, they do it pretty quickly. Not 2 weeks, but maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Month. That's what Padma was saying in an interview. I don't think they have much time to make adjustments like that. I think they just go.
Yeah,
with
like the challenges are all stacked up. I think that's a screwy thing where you realize like you get a week to chew on something, but really like everything that happened in the last episode happened like yesterday for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is super intense.
So tough
yesterday
to
at like 6 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, thanks for writing in, J2, podcast@read-weep.com. If you want to email us, facebook.com/readandweep, where you can post comments there and let us know news stories about people we care about. And also at packyourmics on Twitter. We appreciate everybody getting in touch with us. We really enjoy it. We love the letters, and I love the open-ended questions, discussion topics. Sorry that you had to get your name so badly mispronounced, Spain. We'll just call
Joanne.
You
Joanne.
Do you want to call
just
call you?
Do it.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not funny.
How about J3?
Oh,
hotel J3.
Numero tres.
Also, I'm sorry that we confused J1 and J2. I couldn't remember which was which, but now we've switched them. But they know who they
so
are.
So that's helpful.
No one else knows, but they know. If you're looking for like continuity over the seasons of which J is which, they change.
Can
all
we
the time.
Just average it out? Everyone is J like 1.5.
You mean they're in the middle? Yeah. We don't know who they are.
Yeah, they're both. Yeah. They're just both J1.5.
But they're like a collective, like a hive mind of J's.
Yeah. They're Duggery.
it's like Duggery, of course.
All right, you Duggery. Guys, that's it. Go to packyourmics.com/Amazon. Also, if you want to support our show when you buy stuff on Amazon. And lastly, Chris, this is a double elimination. You didn't get eliminated last week, so I would like you to pack your mics and go twice.
Oh, I had a good run.
Yeah.
I had a good run.
Longer than it should have been. Fortunately.
Looking forward to seeing you on Last Chance Kitchen that we totally confirmed is happening.
In December.
Yeah, I think I'll have a good run there, too.
Can't wait for the Battle of the Chris's in Last Chance Kitchen.
Yeah, and the full-blown surprises. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you guys in San Francisco, Ezra and Sarah and Baby.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Yay.
And Chris and Tanya in Brooklyn. Thanks for being here.
Uh-huh. You know what it is.
Thanks for talking to me, Megan.
Thank you, Alex.
We'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.